Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get an update from the 1st Brigade's Red Bulls on their upcoming deployment. We're going to get the latest from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and check in with the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. But first, we lost a good man and a familiar voice on this show this past Saturday, September 19th. Sudden and unexpectedly, while hunting with friends and family, Ken Klein left us too early. However, he did not leave with the mission incomplete. As president of Paralyzed Veterans of America, Minnesota chapter, Ken represented the goals that PVA advocates for their members. A Brownwater Navy Vietnam veteran, Ken demonstrated strong leadership and peer mentorship skills, a credit to his time in the Navy. Ken's last days were hunting, a good example of how he lived. From a wheelchair, Ken led an active life of sports, recreation, and travel, a life possible despite a spinal cord injury. A great example of one's future after a life-changing event, a legacy that will be long remembered. In his honor, we've been requested to share Requiem by Robert Louis Stevenson. Under the wide and starry sky, dig the grave that let me lie. Glad did I live and gladly die, and I laid me down with a will. This be the verse you grave for me. Here he lies where he longed to be. Home is the sailor, home from the sea, and the hunter, home from the will. Ken will be remembered and missed sadly. It's now time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
In the National Guard, we place a high value on physical fitness, just as important as our physical well-being as our mental well-being. This month, we recognize mental health awareness. I want to bring attention to the concept of resiliency and what it means for our soldiers and airmen. Resiliency is about our ability to adjust to and recover from adversity. While serving in the National Guard, we juggle many responsibilities, from family commitments to our civilian careers, all while fulfilling our commitment to our nation's defense. At times, we can feel overwhelmed. It is a natural response to our fast-paced lives. If you are experiencing difficulties maintaining this balance, I want you to know that help is available and that asking for help is a sign of strength. Our psychological health coordinators offer confidential assistance. You can call them 24 hours a day at 651-282-4029. That's 651-282-4029.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to Minnesota Military Radio. As I said in the opening, we're going to visit with Colonel Tim Kemp, who is commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, and subsequent to warfighter and exportable combat training exercises in 2019, the 34th Division's 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team completed a National Training Center rotation at Fort Irwin, California, and the brigade is now beginning its final preparation for deployment to the Middle East in 2021. Colonel Tim Kemp, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Sir, the last time we talked, we were talking about logistics and getting all your soldiers out to California, out to the high desert, and getting all the equipment out there, and the anticipation of going into what I've heard described as the peak of Army training, going up against some of the Army's best full-time soldiers. Out in the high desert of California.
Yeah, I was. We executed, and I have to give a thanks out to the entire sustainment logistics community, both in Minnesota, but actually throughout the Army. We actually had 20 different states that units were from, and all the compos between reserve, active duty, and then guard. It was about 4,000 from Minnesota, but another 1,000 from other 19 states. And the logistical effort went very in-depth planning, lots of work with the planning, but incredibly well in the movement to the National Training Center to include, you know, coronavirus mitigation at both Fort Knox, Kentucky, and here at Camp Ripley, Minnesota, to get everybody to NTC and then begin the execution of the fight against what they call the Black Horse, which is part of the 11 ACR Army Cavalry Regiment. That is the opposing force that does a great job at simulating the most ominous enemy that we would face as part of our global strategic threat out at NTC.
We're speaking with Colonel Tim Kemp, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I understand that your Red Bulls were the first U.S. Army soldiers to take part in a large-scale exercise since training events were paused in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And I recall that you had your soldiers up at Camp Ripley for a while before you went out to California's high mountain Mojave Desert. And then, of course, you had to get out there and get all your equipment ready to go and get ready to go out into what they call the box.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, it was, you know, the effort from the Secretary of the Army all the way down to our brigade in the lowest elements was one of the most unprecedented efforts in support that I've seen as a unit and organized, you know, both active duty and guard to forward deploy anywhere. Continuous meetings with Force Com. Lieutenant General Quintus is the Deputy Force Com Commander, was the spearhead at the highest levels to help support our coronavirus mitigation plan. Force Com sent mobile laboratories to Fort Knox and to Camp Ripley, where we tested all of our soldiers when they arrived, and then got the results, and 4 days later flew soldiers to the National Training Center. There we had 4 days, 5 days to build our combat power on the ground, which is part of the exercise and what you're evaluated on. If we were to forward deploy to a austere country somewhere and have to rapidly prepare to go into combat, we would have to do that. So that simulates that, and it's contested. So the rascals do things that attack you at the front gate and harass you, and UAS surveillance and things that happen while you're trying to prepare for combat. And then we deployed in the box and attacked into the box. And in our true fashion as Red Bulls, we attacked, and then we attacked, and then we had another attack mission back to back, which is the part of the motto of the Red Bulls. And then we defended. I'm so proud of how, through everything we had to go through with the virus, being the first back to NTC, the whole enterprise was a little rusty, you know, as an Army getting us in there and getting us through that. And we were building the plane while we flew it. The fact that we achieved all of our training objectives, we were successful in seizing all of our offensive objectives, and then completed the destruction of the Black Horse during our defense phase as part of our last battles there at NTC. So very successful at accomplishing what we need to do, which then tells us that where we are strong in preparation for our deployment, and then also gave us things that only NTC could tell us, because it's the only place you can exercise the whole brigade and all of its functions as to where we need to improve before we forward deploy, which is critical to get our soldiers deployed to support our federal mission in our country, and then return them all back home.
Sir, I'm reading from this now, but it says the NTC rotation included realistic force-on-force training. NTC is the only Army training facility that allows a full brigade combat team to conduct force-on-force maneuver, live-fire attack, live-fire defense, giving training units the opportunity to integrate all mission command systems and war-fighting functions. Really is the peak of the training, isn't it, sir?
It is. You know, I mentioned the Black Horse Operational Force, which is another brigade, and it's truly a living and breathing, very, very highly trained organization that you have to compete against, and they can fight in all weather and in all areas and all domains very, very well. And so they challenge you to do the same and to bring us up to their level or above their level. And NTC, the maneuver space, is the size of the state of Rhode Island, which gives you an idea of what an armored brigade combat team, the type of terrain and space it needs to get out to its doctrinal and design distances in order to fight at the ranges that tanks and Bradleys can, and then utilize your infantry to on the key terrain and hills and mountains and things to do their job, to include four or five very serious built-up areas that they built, simulation towns. Rajesh, one of them, is really not even a simulated town. It's a town when it comes to the infrastructure, and then they fill it with opposing soldiers. So very realistic, all the areas that we would have to address of the threat, and most of the time simultaneously and continuous. The battle never ends, and so you have to learn how to plan, prepare, and also fight continuously. So just this one of the only places in the world where you can do that.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to follow up a little bit more on your time at the NTC, and then we're going to talk about your upcoming deployment. We're speaking with Colonel Tim Kemp, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyon, speaking today with Colonel Tim Kemp, who is the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the of our Red Bull soldiers. And we were talking about a training mission that they went on to the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California. And it was known for providing tough, realistic training, exercise at NTC, simulate combat in the harsh environment of the California's rugged high mountain Mojave Desert. And Colonel, you were up against some of the Army's best. And one of the last things you told me, as I recall, before you went out on that, was that you had a few surprises in your pocket for your opposition. How'd that go, sir?
Yeah, we, you know, you when you go into combat and prepare for combat, you analyze your enemy and find his weaknesses, and then you analyze your capabilities and look at your strengths and try to improve your strengths specifically in the areas where he has a weakness to try to exploit that. And in this case, I can now reveal some of the surprises, which was, you know, our dismounts use their anti-tank weapon systems, their javelins, and they're very aggressive of seizing what we call key terrain, is hilltops, mountains, you know, passes in the mountains where we know the enemy has to go, and he's vulnerable because he's, you know, has to line up as he goes through there and get choked up in those locations. And so we utilized our dismounts in many various scenarios like that, which was surprised the enemy and then left him out vulnerable in the open, and then allowed our tanks to do what tanks do, which is kill other tanks, along with their attack aviation, which we had Apaches out there with us. So that was one of our little tricks that we were trying to do, and that was actually very successful. And it was very, for me as the commander, it was very interesting for me to watch the living and breathing opposing force then try to adjust his plan and to try to overcompensate for that piece or mitigate that piece, and then come up with an additional plan on the fly, so to try to counter it from our perspective. So that's a good example of what the National Training Center makes happen for a brigade staff and all of its combat units that you can't do anywhere else. You know, normally we do simulations and things, and it's very canned in a scenario, and you can over prepare for it. But when the enemy adjusts, and then now he has an advantage over you suddenly that you had no idea had capability of, you know, he can do that out of NTC because he's, you know, living and breathing regiment out there.
Sounds like a big chess game, sir. How did your soldiers perform, and how did they fare? Did everybody come back safe?
Yeah, everybody came back safe. One of my proudest things for all specifically my NCOs and what they did in supervising and taking care of, you know, their soldiers while we're out there. So no serious injuries, no serious illnesses out there. That was my number one priority. No major accidents, you know, rollovers, things like that that could happen at NTC. On average, they have serious injuries out there and even some deaths at sometimes, sadly. And we did not experience any of that. So we took care of our Minnesota soldiers, and our NCOs did a phenomenal job of hands-on leadership to take care of them, make sure that they're prepared for the heat and everything else that happened out there. Managed the coronavirus scenario with the mitigations we had in place. And we had those that tested positive were vast majority of them were on the front end, and because of the exposure they had on the front end of the virus, those soldiers were taken care of, and most of them returned back to duty and were able to continue the fight at NTC. And then towards the back end, we were successful at completing or creating health bubbles. So on the back end, we tested those soldiers that were concerned about going home to a vulnerable family member when it came to their health. And all of those soldiers that tested negative before they went home. So it was very nice to get that for myself and the sergeant major, a comfort level that the soldiers were going home and they weren't going to expose their families to anything. And we did not see any of that on the back end. So from front to back, complete rotation our soldiers and their health and their family's health is incredibly important to us, the most important thing we do. And in the end, the result was where we wanted it to be.
We're speaking with Colonel Tim Kemp, the commander of the Armored Brigade Combat Team from our 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. Colonel, it's my understanding that once you finish that NTC rotation, that arguably you're the best trained brigade in the Army, especially in the Guard. And once you've performed well out there, your reward is you've got a deployment coming up. So you've gone through all of this, the warfighter, the exportable combat, the XETC training exercises, now the NTC, and now you got to have to get all your equipment back up to Camp Ripley, get it ready to go, and get ready to go be deployed after the first of the year.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, the National Training Center rotation and the XETC and the warfighter, like you mentioned, the whole purpose of all that is to increase our overall unit proficiency and abilities for mobilization. And we do have a mobilization that's scheduled coming up here in 2021. We are going to go to Army Central Command Theater, which is the Middle East, to do theater security cooperation and to be there to be a response force for whatever mission is necessary while we're over there. And our equipment here, you know, our, like I told you before, our sustainers and our logistics guys are the best in the world, I believe, arguably. We've already returned all of our equipment back to operational readiness rate, 90% plus right now, 95, I think, actually now. And so all of our equipment is just about ready to be able to be shipped out overseas well ahead of time. And we're preparing our soldiers and making sure that they're medically healthy and prepared, and so they won't put anybody else at risk or themselves during the deployment. And then we'll start ramping things up after the first of the year, and we'll be going, our mobilization station will be Fort Bliss, Texas, and then we'll move from Fort Bliss, Texas into the Middle East as part of our deployment.
Sir, we've been on the air for the last 10 years with Minnesota Military Radio, and we've seen that the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team has been to the Middle East before. That's got to give you an advantage. You've been there. You understand the basic situation. You know where you're going to go. A lot of your troops have been there. That's got to give you a big advantage going back after the first of the year.
Yeah, it is definitely an advantage, Tom. It's a great note in the fact that, you know, we can visualize the areas that we're going to. When we went to NTC, as a matter of fact, if I go back to the brigade's 2011 and 12 deployment, we named the operation with RSENT, Operation Spartan Shield at that time, and we were actually conducting the first Operation Spartan Shield brigade mission. And then now we're going back to do that same mission over in the Middle East. So we're able to take a lot of what we knew from that deployment and then track what's been going on over there just because we're interested because we were there and did the mission and helped create this overall theater security cooperation and response force mission to apply that to everything we've trained on at the XETC warfighter and NTC. So we've been really focused on what we believe is going to make us necessary in, you know, those deserts and in that terrain with the specific threats that we may have, and then to work very closely with the partners that we have in the region to try to help them and support them in any way they can to become, you know, better and more proficient militaries and partners for each other and us.
Sir, we were fortunate enough in 2011 to go over and visit the 1st Brigade Combat Team when Colonel Kurska was in charge and did a live show from the Middle East, and we'll see if we can we can follow you back there this one. But my last question, most important question, how are your soldiers? How are they holding up? It's been a busy time. We've got deployed soldiers all over the world. They've come up on state active duty. How are our soldiers doing, sir?
Yeah, I respect and I'm impressed every day by what our soldiers are capable of. And you mentioned state active duty before NTC. We were called up to support the state and the federal and city authorities in St. Paul, Minneapolis, and the professionalism that they showed in the midst of that, all of that, rapidly doing that and getting out to support the authorities and to allow people to exercise their First Amendment rights, but while at the same time securing those people that are out there and protesting as they have the right to do so, along with securing and having the back of the police departments and the fire departments. So couldn't be more proud of how professional and mature they were through all of that, then going to NTC and then now preparing for the mobilization. You know, right now it's having a lot of conversations this weekend. I'm up at Camp Ripley this weekend, and many of the soldiers are just smiling and grinning because we see green grass, and it was 55 degrees this morning, a little dew and rain, which was a lot different than what it was like at NTC. So it's almost like they've come back from a deployment. Everything's a little bit greener and a little nicer, and they're enjoying some time now between now and when we have to mobilize, which they shifted our date to mobilize to the right a little bit to give us a little more time and space. So the soldiers now are having a chance to reflect and reconnect with their families and their employers, which we're highly encouraging them to do, and we're prioritizing between now and the time that we have to mobilize for deployment. So they performed extremely well. They're extremely resilient. And everything we've been through, and now we're able to focus on their readiness and their family readiness, and then in preparation for the mobilization. So it's a good time right now for all of our soldiers to be home, enjoy the remainder of the summer, enjoy a little bit of fall, and the Christmas and, you know, the other holidays.
Sir, we've got less than a minute left, but you've got to feel good about being here from Minnesota. You've got the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Networks, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. There's all kinds of organizations here to help take care of the families when you take your troops and deploy. That's as a commander, that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, it's a tremendous thing, specifically here in Minnesota. And Tom, I want to thank you and your whole team. And I know all the work that you do, you know, in front of the, you know, front scenes and behind the scenes, to support all of that. And we just got a tremendous communities here in Minnesota. You know, I had conversations with senior leaders in the past, and they asked me, you know, about, you know, yes, have second to none support of your soldiers, and how happy I am, and kind of the comfort blanket that gives. And I just said, I don't know if it's a secret sauce or culture or what it is in Minnesota, but the Red Bulls in Minnesota and the soldiers, part of the Minnesota Guard, love their state. They love the people of their state and their communities, and the communities return that three and fourfold for us, and we're so thankful for everything that everybody does, from the thoughts and prayers to the actions and the donations and things that when soldiers call and need something, they get a response and an overwhelming support every time. In the time I've been in the Minnesota Guard and deployments, it's always been that way. So I just want to say thank you to all those organizations, to include your organization, Tom, and those that you partake in. Now it's informing and educating our young soldiers and families that all of that is there for them. That's the key focus between now and the mobilization.
Sir, we'll look forward to talking to you again before you deploy next year, and I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today.
I appreciate it once again, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That was Colonel Tim Kemp, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to speak with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs about veteran suicide prevention. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Minnesota Commanders Task Force, or CTF, is made up of 9 congressionally chartered veterans service organizations here in Minnesota. They include the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, Vietnam Veterans of America, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Marine Corps League, AMVETS, Jewish War Veterans, and the Paralyzed Veterans of America. The CTF acts as a single voice for veterans in Minnesota. They meet monthly to discuss the issues affecting veterans and their families and facilitate communication among veteran service organizations. The CTF promotes legislative initiatives and represents veterans and their families on the Hill. The CTF is also an advisory board to me, and for that I am very grateful. I look forward to working with the commanders in the upcoming year.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to militaryradio.com. Paula Nowinski is the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Healthcare Division Quality Director and the lead on suicide prevention. Oh, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's great to be here.
Paula, as I recall, you worked for quite a few years out at the Minneapolis VA before joining the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and I think you've been over there a couple of years now.
Yeah, I worked for the Minneapolis VA for a little over 23 years, and now I've been at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs working in the state vets' homes for about 2 years.
And how did that happen? How did you go from the VA to the MDVA?
Well, when I was working for the Minneapolis VA, part of my job was to actually go into the Minneapolis, Hastings, and Silver Bay homes and be the surveyor for the VAs. And when I was there, I found myself just happy and really enjoying the company and the clients and the employees at the state vets homes. I previously worked with Deputy Commissioner Doug Hughes, Senior Director Simone Hogan, and the Medical Director Dr. Bruce Meyer in roles over at the Minneapolis VA, and there was an opening. I applied, and now I'm part of this team. It's wonderful to be here.
Very good, Paula. And this month, September, is Suicide Prevention Month. Are we getting any better on the issue of suicide prevention and in helping prevent that?
Well, nationally, more than 6,000 veterans die each year by suicide. In Minnesota, we lose more than 100 veterans each year. Are we getting better? Probably in some respects, and in probably some respects not. The numbers kind of stay stable. There's more awareness, more prevention activities happening. But every year, we're still losing over 100 veterans each year. So the veteran suicide prevention is the federal VA's number one priority. And Minnesota, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, is joining to raise the awareness and prevent veteran suicide by death in our state. We believe this is a public health crisis that's preventable. We know we can prevent veteran suicide by maintaining a focus on high-risk individuals, making sure that they're connected, and supporting the veterans before they get to a crisis point. So now we're partnering with the federal VAs to implement a plan to do just that.
Paula, can you tell me more about the governor's challenge to end veteran suicide?
Sure. Earlier this year, we joined a national effort called the Governor's Challenge. This is a program sponsored by the federal VA and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. It works with states and cities across the country to help us organize and develop and execute a plan that includes all federal, state, military, nonprofit organizations, and other healthcare systems that are working on suicide prevention. While MDVA were just the facilitators in this work, we're so fortunate to be collaborating with a number of other organizations that have been working long and hard to prevent suicide, including the Minnesota Departments of Health and Human Services, Agriculture, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Office of Higher Education, the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Minnesota Center for Suicidology, Minnesota Ambulance Association, NAMI Minnesota, Building Healthy Military Communities, and Lutheran Social Services. More and more organizations are continuing to join us in this effort as we move ahead.
Paula, that was quite a list, and I'm glad to hear that there's that many organizations working on preventing suicide, especially among our veterans. I understand that you use a public health approach to suicide prevention. Can you explain that to me?
Sure. The Governor's Challenge and the VA plans both call for a public health approach, which means that everybody in the community feels a responsibility for suicide prevention. We say suicide prevention is everybody's business. We're working to develop a comprehensive community-based approach by reaching out to all touch points where a veteran may contact, including everything from the hospital and clinics to the veteran county service officers to veteran service organizations and then the broader community. We want everyone to understand that they can play a role in veteran suicide prevention and how to have a conversation with a veteran who might be struggling.
Paula, I know people that aren't very comfortable talking about mental health or suicide prevention. Is there any kind of training available to the general public to get people more comfortable discussing this issue?
Sure. We encourage all Minnesotans across the state to take some sort of suicide prevention training. There's some options that include QPR, which stands for Question, Persuade, Refer. Check out NAMI Minnesota for free classes on that. That's the National Alliance on Mental Illness. SAVE stands for Signs, Ask, Validate, Encourage, or Expedite Care. That's available through the VA healthcare systems. PsychArmor.org has wonderful resources on veteran suicide prevention. These trainings help us to recognize those at risk for suicide and ways for people to be more comfortable in talking to someone who's struggling with mental health issues. Each of our four VAs that serve Minnesota have suicide prevention, community outreach, and engagement partnership coordinators. They're there to provide free education to your community, company, or group. Please reach out to your local VA or to MDVA. We can connect you. learn more about trainings, you can also visit our website at minnesotaveteran.org/NVetSuicide.
And Paul, is there a Minnesota-specific Veteran Suicide Prevention and Awareness Day?
Yes. The month of September is for suicide prevention for the entire month for the general population. But back in 2019, the Minnesota legislature created the Minnesota Veteran Suicide Prevention and Awareness Day. This day is observed the first Saturday of October, and this year it's the second annual recognition. Last year, we were able to hold a wonderful event to pay tribute to the Minnesota veterans who've died by suicide and to commit on working to prevent future veterans' death by suicide. We're not able to hold an in-person event this year related to the pandemic, but we're still promoting this important topic through conversations like we're having today. We also ask that the VA healthcare leaders in Minnesota and other state leaders to raise awareness of veteran suicide prevention by signing an online pledge.
Paula, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about veteran suicide prevention. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Paula Nowinski, who is the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Healthcare Division Quality Director, the lead on veteran suicide prevention. And Paula, we talked about Suicide Prevention Month, the governor's challenge, the public health approach, training available to educate the community, and the Minnesota-specific Veteran Suicide Prevention and Awareness Day, which will be virtual this year because we can't get people together. And taking the pledge, and information about all of that, I'm sure, is available at the MDVA website, correct?
Absolutely. We have a dedicated spot available for veteran suicide prevention, and that is at minnesotaveteran.org/NVetSuicide.
Very good. Now, Paula, I just want to walk through this a little bit. If we see a lot of people are doing buddy checks right now, the American Legion's doing buddy checks, all the veterans doing buddy checks. If we call one of our friends and it sounds like they're depressed, they're having some mental health issues, how do we approach that? Everybody's a little bit concerned about and not comfortable about bringing things up. But what's the best thing to do? Just ask them directly. Are you having a problem? Are you thinking about suicide? How do you do that?
Yes, it's actually recommended that you directly ask someone, you know, are you thinking of committing suicide? Are you thinking of ending your life? Ask those questions. When we ask a question like, are you thinking about harming yourself? You know, people actually do self-harm on sometimes a regular basis as a coping mechanism. And so they might not even say yes to that. So please just come right out and ask them. Don't be afraid to ask the question. You know, are you thinking of ending your life? And if you get a yes, please know that you need to stay with that person, stay connected, and get a way to contact someone to assist in the meantime. You can get them to the VA healthcare systems, any one of the four hospitals. You can get them to a vet center. You can get them to any emergency room within the state, and they'll help and assist with that. If you're just doing a buddy check over the phone, you might have to call 911 if someone is imminent and has a plan and a weapon in their hand or the means to do it right there. So just stay with the person and make sure that you're asking the questions.
And help is available either from the VA or from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, or they can call the Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255, press 1, or there's a text number, text 741-741. And Paula, these buddy checks, I think, in a year like this when we've got COVID-19, are more important than ever. Stay in touch with your veterans. Stay in touch with your family. Make sure everyone's okay.
Yes. We need to make sure that all of our veterans know that, I mean, people struggle. It's okay to ask for help, and there's lots of resources available for them. Please don't be afraid to ask your veterans in your life if they are struggling. Thanks, Tom.
And it's really important for them to know that help is available at the Minneapolis VA, or help is available from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Paula, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the time.
That was Paula Nowinski from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, as always, Tom, it's good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Director, the last time we had you on, we talked about the COVID-19 and your thoughts about getting flu shots this year, more important than ever. And I want to report to you that I got my high-dosage flu shot this week, and I hope you got yours as well.
I've already gotten my flu shot, and I am thankful. We have a really good supply of flu vaccine this year, Tom, and so we have started. You know, we're into our flu vaccine season, and in fact, we are giving flu here in the hospital, in our community-based clinics. For your listeners who want to go to our website, www.minneapolis.va.gov, there's all kinds of information on flu shots, on locations, on how you can get the flu shot. It even has information in there about how they can go to a community urgent care site in the VA's network where they can get their flu shot, again, free of charge. And so I really encourage your listeners to get their flu shot this year. I just can't tell you how concerned we are about, you know, sort of the combined COVID-flu effect this winter. And so, it's not completely effective. It clearly is not 100% effective, but it helps in two ways. You know, one, it will give you some prevention against catching the flu, and secondly, it'll likely lessen your symptoms if you do get the flu. So please get your flu shot this season. There's a lot of different ways to do it, and the flu vaccine availability is pretty good this year.
And, Director, I went to the .gov/find locations, printed out a location of a seat close to my house, and printed out the brochure, and took my VA ID card and went over. And within about 20 minutes, I had my high-dose shot, and it was pretty simple. So,
That's a great recommendation, Tom. You know, in fact, I didn't mention you can print it out at the website, but if you do, you just, again, you take it with you. It removes any concern or any doubt that the urgent care center won't know what to do, who to bill, how to make it happen, not to bill the veteran. It's all printed out on that sheet. So that's that information you mentioned is posted at our website. Print out that document, take it with you, make it a lot easier, just like you did.
And one last item, Director. I understand you're going to have some drive-by shootings, some drive-by flu shots. They just drive up to the VA, roll down the window, stick out their arm, and just keep on going.
You know, we're having our first one here at the medical center Saturday, the 3rd of October, all day. That's on our website. All of our clinics, you know, and all 13 of them will have a drive-up between 12:30 and 15:30 every Thursday, starting for 3 weeks, and that's starting this next Thursday. So, yeah, that's the best way to do it. Drive up in your car, get a shot in your arm, tell us who you are. We'll record it all and make sure we catch it for your health record.
And, Director, I know there's another topic that's near and dear to you, veteran suicide prevention. We just had on Paul from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs talking about that, and you're always working on that as well.
Yeah, we're partnering with the governor's challenge here in our state to reduce veteran suicides, and you know this is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. So around the medical center, we've got a number of signs and presentations and information related to veteran suicide. But you know, it remains a really difficult problem, and really it continues to be the secretary's number one clinical priority. So best advice, you've given it on your show before. If you're having trouble, talk to someone. And if you're someone who senses that one of your colleagues is struggling, ask them about it. Get them help. It's the best way to approach it.
Director, we got two more quick, and we're mm-hmm. running out of time. But one is the need for blood. It's my understanding that the Red Cross is out just begging for people to come in and give blood. It's been something of a shortage because of the COVID.
Yeah, you know, what's happened in the community, you know, one, there's been a greater need for blood. And then secondly, there's been, people are not all that excited about going to hospitals or places where they're giving blood, concerned about the COVID and all, but which is understandable. It has resulted in some blood shortages. We have a blood drive here at the medical center every Friday afternoon. So we encourage veterans to donate their blood. It's a good thing to do. you know, we're minimizing that traffic through the medical center, but one of the things we decided that as a priority, we still need to keep that blood drive going because it's too important for our community that that they have blood to support not only sick veterans, but sick people.
We just got a few seconds left, sir. Are you hiring out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
Yeah, great question. So I've got some more specific. Yeah, the answer, the short answer is yes. www.minneapolis.va.gov, and there's a, on our internet site. There's a section called Jobs and Careers, and it lists vacancies here. It lists vacancies in the VA, but you bet. You know, we have about 4,000 people who work here. We are always recruiting. There's always turnover. Any of your listeners that are interested, go to our website, look up Jobs and Careers, look up vacancies here. It tells you exactly what to do.
Director, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to let our listeners know that Tuesday, 6th of October, we're going to record live from the VA Healthcare Center, just like we did here, sir, and looking forward to seeing you out there.
You as well, Tom. Thanks again.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Tim Kemp, Paula Nowinski, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get an update from Fort Snelling National Cemetery and meet another Yellow Ribbon Company. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.